Japanese company Mitsubishi Heavy Industries has secured the $10 billion contract to construct a new fleet of warships for the Australian Navy, beating out German company ThyssenKrupp Marine Systems. The 11 Mogami frigates are expected to be ready by the end of the decade. First three vessels will be built in Japan, whilst the remaining eight are set to be constructed in Western Australia. James Bale asked Adam Lockyer, Associate Professor in Strategic Studies at Macquarie University, why Australia went with the Mitsubishi Heavy Industries bid.
The Japanese ship is more capable. It's more automated, it has more firepower, and it has a smaller crew, which is really important in Australia's case because we've always struggled to crew our warships. However, there's an additional benefit of going with the Japanese bid, being that this will align Australia more closely with Japan through not just the manufacture, but also the upkeep and also interoperability, so our ships can work more closely together.
How has Australia's relationship with Japan since World War II evolved leading up to the steel?
Oh, it's transformed. So during World War II, they were our greatest threat. We were at war with Japan. After the Second World War, when the United States occupied and the Australians occupied Japan for a while, things began to slowly improve, though it took a long time. During the 1950s, when Australia signed up to the ANZUS Treaty, it still had a bit of an eye towards the future threat coming from Japan. So when the United States allowed Japan to rearm, Australia was quite concerned about the rearmament of Japan in the 1950s. So we're working more closely with Japan and other nations in the region as we're trying to stabilise the effects of growingly powerful China.
Adding on to that, will a fresh fleet of warships change the way military powers such as China conduct exercises in the Pacific region?
Our ships aren't going to change the way that China's behaving, but what it will do is allow us to do more. So Australia is an island nation. The vast majority of our goods come from sea. And so if you were trying to apply military force on Australia, one of the first things that you would try and do is block our maritime trade. And so what these frigates tend to do is to patrol the world's oceans and to try to stabilize those trade routes and secure those trade routes so they're going to be more difficult to interfere with.
Adding on to the idea of trade routes, will the warships reaffirm Australia's position as a security partner to the likes of New Zealand and the US?
Yeah, so the United States was also favouring the Japanese bid over the German bid. The reason for that was that the United States would like to see its partners in the Indo-Pacific working more closely together with one another. So not just, you know, Japan working with the United States and Australia working with the United States. The United States would like to see Australia and Japan, as well as others, working more closely with each other. It will help those type of hub and spoke relationships. But then the New Zealand side of things, there is sort of talk that the New Zealanders are going to have to recapitalise their frigates as well, because they're currently operating the Anzac class frigates as well, which is the ones that we're going to be replacing with these new Japanese ships. And so what the New Zealanders do from this stage is yet to be seen, but it might well be that they might be favouring ships from the Indo-Pacific rather than traditionally from Europe, so Spain or the German ships.
In regard to Australia's defence needs and defence budget, how viable is this deal with Mitsubishi Heavy Industries in terms of costs and time frame to get this fleet up and running?
Yeah, in terms of costs, they were the more expensive bid, but in terms of overall cost, this sort of pales in comparison to other budgetary pressures on defence like the AUKUS submarines. So $10 billion is a lot of money, but in defence terms, it's not sort of eye-watering money. The delivery is a different question. So one of the biggest question marks over the Japanese bid was the Japanese ability to build ships overseas. So we know the Japanese are very good at building ships in Japan. They've got a long track record of delivering ships on time and on budget. However, they've never built ships overseas before. And part of what Australia required was the first three ships to be built overseas. So in this case, it will be in Japan. Or if the Germans had one, the first three ships would be built in Germany. But then the remaining eight ships were going to be built in Adelaide. And the Germans have a long history of being able to build ship overseas in Australia, whereas the Japanese never done this before. And so that's the big question mark over the Japanese bid.
While the contract is still being finalised, what should Richard Mouws and the Australian government take into consideration during negotiation?
Yeah, I think the biggest sticking point now are going to be, well, these first three ships are going to be built in Japan. One of the promises of Japan was that Australia would even get one of the ships that was intended to be built for Japan. So they're going to let Australia push in line of even their own Navy in order to get these ships on time. Now, that's a great thing for us, but whether or not these are going to be able to be incorporated into Australia's fleet effectively is going to be the big question. Even though we're trying to get these ships as close to off the shelf as possible, some changes are going to be needed, and whether or not we're going to be able to get those necessary changes into the current hulls are going to be the big question.
Associate Professor Adam Lockyer from the School of International Studies at Macquarie University, speaking there with James Bale.